My name is Mary Lynn Thompson, and I first heard Rita Marie years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago. I was on one of those interview calls, and looking back, I have to say my life has really changed a lot in these last years. My health is much better. I have energy to do a lot more than I could a few years ago, my former couch potato self. And I am now at a point of being able to explore and plan what I'm going to do for the next couple decades of my life that I was not really on my radar before. I can do much more. I have and am building a stronger vitality, and without the limitations of low energy and the destructive thoughts and those kinds of things that get in the way, that got in my way before. Dr. Rita Marie has inspired me to believe that I can do more. And I am very grateful to be a part of this community and to know Dr. Rita Marie as my teacher and my mentor. And here she is.
And you are one of our leading examples of how age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? It's like people start a new career at any age. We'll have a guessing game if anybody can guess how old you are. We'll give you an extra raffle ticket, right? Okay, you can take that.
Oh, okay.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, I got my own. I'm hooked up. Whew, how was that? How's this morning so far? Yeah? Have you learned a lot? Are you full? Oh, full from lunch. I'm like, what am I going to do for the next couple of days? I could do cartwheels on the stage. I guess if I can still do them, I might be able to. Not in this dress, though. yeah, so you're not filled up with information. You want more, right? Okay, so the next segments, we're going to pass out. If you guys can get the nutrient ones ready to pass out. And then after that, we'll do the brain. We're going to hand you things one at a time or like groups at a time, because here's what happens. Depending on which genes you have expressing, you will either go, wow, look at all these cool charts, or holy crap. Okay? And so we're going to give them to you one at a time so you can focus on that one, not be flipping through as we're going through. And the first thing we're going to look at is the nutrients and how nutrient status is impacted by the genes, right? And which genes you need to be aware of. There's not that many, but to look at, to say this person, like they're taking or they're eating foods that are rich in X nutrient, but why do they show signs that they're deficient in this nutrient, right? So we want to look at that and say, oh, because they have the BCOM1 gene, and that's causing their conversion from vitamin A to beta carotene to vitamin A to be down. And if you find it for yourself, right? Oh, okay, I need to make sure I'm more aware of this particular nutrient. So that's the first thing we're going to do this afternoon. And then we're going to lead into some brain snips. Do you have a risk of Alzheimer's? Do you have some of the anxiety and sleep problem genes that predispose you, right? Remember, genes don't mean it's there. But what it means is that, and then the other one is brain health. And what it means, though, is that not that you're going to get this problem, but you have to be more careful about following the rules. We all should be following, because we all should be living, and everybody in the world should have their health as their top priority, health and happiness and love with their families. And yet we don't make it a priority, right? We don't. And this gives us some ways that we can help incentivize our clients to do so and help with the customization. So we're going to talk about, with every one of these sections, we're going to talk about some of the customizations, and I'm going to show you how to read it on these charts. And then Sunday, we're going to pull it all together and just tell you how to use everything you've learned over the last 3 days to pull it together to make personalized programs. So we'll get little bits of it so it's not all trying, bless you. So you got a chart. What I want you to do, if you've brought your charts, your SNP charts, right? Pull them out. Just pull them out. Okay, if you've done the detox, the nutritional detox, the genetic detox one, the newest one I added, take that one out at the top. Because I'm going to show you how, if you haven't done that one, it's worth spending $30 to get it, even if you have the others. Because you can use that as your core, and then you can cross-reference into the others, just because of the way it's organized, and I'll take you through that. Let me see what I've got here. Before we do that, because we are going into brain and we are talking about stress and the effects of cortisol, who knows what part of the brain does cortisol, the stress hormone, cause to be inhibited? It damages the hippocampus, absolutely. And one other, that it shuts down, inhibits temporarily. Which part of the brain does cortisol inhibit? Okay, you guys, if you've been through the adrenal module, you should know this. Okay, who can shout it out? Tony, what part of the brain gets inhibited by cortisol? Who said it? The prefrontal cortex. What's the function of the and you said it too, prefrontal cortex, what's the function of it? It's our executive function. That's what we have that the lower level animals, supposedly lower level, I've questioned that sometimes, but that they don't have, right? It's that high level thinking, solving physics problems. How many of you think it's important to know how to solve a physics problem if a hungry tiger is chasing you? Right? So it's the natural design of the body. It's brilliant, right? Shut down the hippocampus, turn off the digestion, increase the heart rate, increase the blood flow to the extremities, and make you a bumbling idiot that's really good at getting away from tigers, right? That's basically what it is. You need to be a bumbling idiot that can get away from tigers. Not that you stop and decide to think about this new nursing technique that you learned last week or this new physics problem, right? We don't want that. So cortisol shuts it down. Unfortunately, and fortunately, we don't have hungry tigers running around. I haven't seen one in this hotel yet. I haven't seen one in my neighborhood, although we do get coyotes sometimes. But they're little, and I can outrun them a little faster. But we don't have that, but we have the virtual tigers chasing us 24/7. Who has a life like that, where it feels like you're on stress mode 24/7? A lot, right? And that's like a tiger's chasing you. So you wonder why you can't focus and you can't think straight. And your brain is like, where's my brain today? It's cortisol is just dismantling it, right? And we want to get that back. But if you have specific genes, it's going to make it worse. You're going to be more susceptible to it. So we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. So I'm going to teach you. I said this all to lead into. Before we do that, we need our high-level thinking processes to do this. Okay? I'm going to try to make it fun. I'm going to make you laugh. But you need your high-level thinking process. So before we do it, we're going to do a little technique, and it combines breathing and appreciation. And those of you who've been to my KEK conferences before, you know what we're going to do. It's a technique that's derived from the heart math. And the Institute of Heart Math, and we're going to go ahead and do this, okay? Just to shift us, and it's amazing how quickly this can shift us from sympathetic dominance to parasympathetic. Parasympathetic is where healing happens, reproduction, digestion, and high-level thinking processes, okay? Who's ready? Who's never done this before? Okay. So you can do this with your hands. You can do it just with yourself. I like to do it with the eyes closed first time. So what I recommend you do is put your right hand over your heart, your left hand over your belly. We're going to focus on breathing from the belly, like yoga. You know, you're going to fill up your belly and then let it out. And as you breathe in, what I want you to do is focus on filling your lungs completely. So if you feel like you inhaled all the way, see if you can fill it a little bit more. And then just hold it for a few seconds at the full breath. And then when you're ready, full exhale. A lot of people exhale halfway. And that doesn't help. The exhale is what helps us get into parasympathetic, the slow rest, digest part of the nervous system. And just let that breath go fully. And then when you think you've exhaled fully, see if you could just push a little bit more of that stale air that gets trapped at the bottom of your lungs out. And as you breathe in, fill your lungs. And then let your shoulders and neck soften and relax as you breathe out. Just let them flop and drop. And we're going to do one more. And on this inhale, what I want you to do is think about something that you appreciate. Think about a person, a place, a pet, a situation that you've either experienced or choose would like to experience, but where you feel like just appreciation, deep appreciation. And just get that in. Relive that in your mind as a, like you're really there. Like the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, the sensations on your skin, all of that. And just allow you to be there. And this allows you to trick your nervous system into thinking you are right now at the top of a mountain or by a stream or at a beach or cuddling your newborn for the first time in your arms, whatever it is that gives you that good feeling. And just be there. Feel it, hear it, smell it, taste it, see it. And then just take one more breath and let the last breath out. And then when you're ready, open your eyes. Make sure the exhale is full. No half exhales. And then open your eyes. Anybody want to shout out a feeling, like something that changed in doing that? Anybody notice a difference? Who noticed a difference? Yeah. Ease. Love it. Yes. What else? Excitement. Love it. Yeah. Peace. Yeah. Calm. Yeah. Cool. You can do this anytime, and I encourage you to learn more about this and share it with your clients, whoever you're working with that you want to impact, because stress is one of the major causes of all of our illnesses. And some of us, based on genetics, which we'll look at in a second, are more prone to it and have to be more conscious of this. I literally do this all day long, right? And when I don't, and something goes wrong, then I'm like, and I go, okay, you got to do art, man, you got to do it. And then I can think straight. If I'm in a conference call and suddenly like my technology's not working and I'm like freaking out, I can't access this. I can't access the prefrontal cortex. And so I need that in order to figure it out. And when as soon as I go, oh, wait, oh, I can check this, I can check this, I can move this over here, and now it works. But I didn't have access to information that I'd already stored in there. But I didn't have access. This is what happens with kids taking tests at school. There's so much test anxiety, there's so much resting on it, that these poor little kids are developing stress disorders at a very young age, and then they can't perform. They go into a test and they can't think straight. And I remember one time when I was in acupuncture school, and I had two young kids. We were homeschooling 2 days a week. They went off to a co-op. My husband was traveling all the time, and those 2 days a week in the 4 hours, guess what I did with my free time? I took classes at acupuncture school. Like, what was I thinking? But I remember, like, I really needed to prepare for this one test. It was all about the energies of the different points and what they meant. And it was a lot of work. And I had gone through it a couple of times, but I never really, quote, unquote, studied it. Like, sat down for the hours. I'm like, okay, I've done it enough. I'm driving to class. I'm like, I'm just going to heart math my way. I kept my eyes open on the road. And I'm just going to relax into this. And I'm going to trust that it's all in there. It's all been put in there, most of the stuff. It's just, do we have access? Do we have the brain, you know, circuits, right, to access it? And I said, I'm going to have perfect recall on this test. I went in and took the test, and I got like a 98. I was like, whoa, right? Whoa. So whenever you really have to be on, like you're about to go on stage, I breathe. It's all in here. Just a matter of me having the mechanism for recalling it. And if you could see, you will see my brain snips. It's ugly. It's ugly. Okay, so take out some of your reports. Let me just show you what the reports are. And I'm not even sure what I have on the next slide, so where's my chart thing? I don't remember. Yeah, so food and nutrient-related snips. Okay. So we're going to look at, you just got handed your food and nutrient SNP page. Are these nice? Do you like these? I recommend, Lynn had this idea that you, I don't know if they can do it at Kinko's or whatever else is out there, but is to find a way to, once you have them all, is to put them in a, like, get it bound across here. And you might even be able to just easily get those little rings. You know, those little, they're just like binder rings, but they're individual, and then you can pop them open and put more in. And there's certain books out there. I don't know about the 8.5 by 11s, but maybe take a trip to Office Max and figure it out. That way you can keep this on your desk at all times and flip through them when you're working with somebody. And you know what, stapling together doesn't really work. You know, you want to have that nice free flow. That's just our opinion. But so you got your chart. This is my stack. Does anybody have a stack that looks similar to this? yeah? Okay. I uploaded these to the site. I changed my name on all of them to say RL Sample, but you guys know they're mine. But if you lose them, my name ain't on them. And if my insurance company happens to contact you, you know nothing. Okay, I don't have an insurance company. I have a $10,000 deductible on an emergency-only insurance policy. But, you know, and going for life insurance, right, or something like that. Like, whoo, they didn't want me if I have all these gene SNPs, if they knew what they were. Okay. But what they really don't know is they should give me extra credit because I've reversed them. Okay. So who got this one, the new one that I put on there called geneticdetoxification.com? Okay. If you haven't, who downloaded these reports that I put up, that I put up the other day and has it on your computer or your iPad? Okay. If you don't have, who doesn't have reports with them, printed out with them or on the computer? Just a few. So if you can find someone to sit near and look over their shoulder if they don't mind, it'll help you in going through this. So you're going to do these, all of these reports on yourself or on whoever you're working with, and then you're going to decide, I think that one's the one I'm going to go with, right? If I had to choose one, right now I think it's going to be this one. Because even though in it, it doesn't have explanations, it just has them listed, it's got them beautifully listed by phase one detox, phase two detox glucuronidation, glutathione, has all the different phases. So detox, which we'll go over tomorrow, has two phases, phase one and phase two. But in phase two, there's six different components or pathways that detoxify. And then it goes into mental health genes, Alzheimer's genes, mood and anxiety genes. Then it goes into, oh, that's my red brain. DNA damage and cancer genes. Those looked okay, not too terrible for me. Immune system and gluten sensitivity, not so good. Can you see my charts at all from back there that I'm holding up this? You can? Kind of? You can see the colors anyway. There's not a lot of green in these. That's my autoimmune and inflammation, right? So I have a high tendency to have autoimmune conditions. There's my blood clotting. Fortunately, I don't have too many there, which I was shocked at the cardiovascular being one of my better ones since both of my parents and two grandparents died of heart disease suddenly at a youngish age, right? Young age. There's the vitamin and mineral ones and vitamin. Then they go back into, you know, each individual vitamin and mineral, B12, B9, muscles and joints, etc. So what we've done is we haven't finished all of them yet, but we've gotten a lot of them. We got about 12 or 14 of these charts to give you throughout the weekend, taking these separate sections so that these will match up. So when you get a report back, you can look there. The other thing that you can do to get this analysis happening is there's this book. And when you get this report done, she tells you in the column what page of the book tells you about it. So you don't have to have a 50-page report somewhere that tries to shorten it down to a few lines so it's not a 300-page report. She wrote a 400-page book. So yeah, I got to pay an extra money for it. The physical book was like $30, and the Kindle was about $15, worth its weight in gold, right? And you can look them up, and she has all the different columns that we put in here. Like, I had this vision of this book, this chart, and then I found this book, and I'm like, oh, my God, right? Oh, my God. So the way the chart is set up is the gene and variation. That's the gene. You're going to see it on all your reports is the first thing you're going to see, whether you did genetic genie. Here's the genetic genies. They're short. So these are a good place to start. They're free. I usually start with this just to give me an overall sense for people. But with this one, I may not do that anymore. I may not even bother because I like it. But these are just some specifics. The thing I don't like about the genetic genie is that it doesn't say what the risk allele is or the normal. So I don't know. When this is yellow, it says I'm an AG. But what's... Which one's the normal one and which one's the risk, right? We don't know. But this is free. It just gives a sort number of them. When you do this other report, let's see, I'm just going to give you a little highlight of, is that okay if I just give you a little highlight of what these reports are so you know which ones you might want to be doing? Yeah. It means that it's no genotype, it may be that you have a deletion. So I didn't talk about that much when I talked about SNPs, but SNPs are either, it's a substitution or a deletion, or it's actually, it could be an addition, like trisomy 21. My sister has Down syndrome, that's trisomy. That means there's three of them there. There's an extra. She's got mom, dad, and the mailman, I don't know. But... A deletion means when they looked at that section, remember the picture that had the chromosome comes out like this and the gene is a section of it? That there wasn't any information in that section. So you may not have coded for it. Now you're going to see a lot of those on this one, the MTHFR support one, because look at this. This is a 49-page list. When people see this, they go, I'm screwed. I give up. And then you go, what does this mean? Yeah, they show you a few pathways in the back, but it's really hard to read. But I always get this because it has some additional ones that some of the others don't. So if I'm going in depth, at least I did it for me, if I'm needing to go further in and I want to see if they have specific things or if I've done some research and I found these other set of genes, I want to know easily if they're there. 23andMe has a place, if you've done your reports, you know you download your raw data. Has anybody looked at where you can actually look at your raw data? You can open the raw data, and you can put in a gene. So if you happen to, there's a new study that says the XYZ3R14 gene codes for purple hair. And I want to look up to see if I have that. Maybe someday my hair will turn purple. And you go look in, you can look it up in here. But you can't, if you don't find it in here, unlikely, because if it's a new one that's been discovered, you can go into, or that it's been studied, you can go into the 23andMe and put in the SNP number. So if you wanted to see MTHFR, you go in there. The problem with reading the raw data, you'd think, okay, I'm just going to go read the raw data. It doesn't give you the risk allele there either. So you're looking and going, what's it supposed to be, right? Ew. And then if you see it doesn't even say, it doesn't even do the color. So here's the thing. You look in there and you go, oh, I have a CC at that. Does that mean I'm normal or does that mean I'm screwed? Right? And I just say that in jest because we're not screwed. But does it mean I'm normal or just mean I'm at risk? Right? I like the term risk allele. And if it's not in there, you can't do it. So somehow there's other data in there that's encoded or these programs have been programmed and they know what it's supposed to be. Does that make sense? Am I losing anybody with this? So the raw data is great to have to look things up, but if you don't have the information, I've spent like 2 or 3 hours going down and tracking down to try to find what's the risk allele and what's the normal allele. I much rather pay a little extra money and get these people to do this. And this is why when you do the 23andMe reports, they just say you have a 7% increase of this or a 23% increase of that. Statistical, it doesn't tell me much. I want to know what the biochemistry is doing, right? I want to know what it's doing. Is this making sense? Yes, following along? All right, so if you've done the MTHFR support one, it's a great reference to look up. And also what they do is, like, the others may only show two of these, like GSTM1 is a glutathione gene. Maybe it only shows two, this shows six. But it can also be misleading because two of them have been the ones that have been clinically studied to show that they mean anything, and the other four may not. And if you've got reds in those, you might be going, when really it's not that bad. Is it making sense? Okay. So pull out your charts, and if you don't have any with you, find somebody who does and ask them if you can be their buddy for a little bit and sit next to them. So we're just going to dart. If you have... who's done the genetic genie ones? Yeah, a lot of you? Okay, good. So who's done this one again? Who's not done this? Yeah. So a lot of you have done this, the genetic detoxification. So if you have that one, keep that one at the top of your stack. If you don't, then keep the others handy. I'm going to share with you a little bit about each of these genes, and then what we're going to do is have you find them and make some notes. What I recommend is that you have some colored pens, and if you don't have any, you can go to the store over there and buy, like, a red pen. And they don't make red highlighters. A red pen, and I had one here. A red pen and a yellow highlighter. And as you go through your report and my chart, you can go through and mark it for yourself, right? You may want to keep these because these are nice and they're professionally printed and not write on them. That's fine with me. Or you can write on them. They are on the site. And if you want nice, you know, printed versions of them, you just take them to Kinko's or whatever they do nicer than your printer will do. Make sense? But you can print this out. And I'd recommend for every one of your clients, family members, whoever you're doing this on, that you just print out a copy of these reports and then you sit there and analyze it and you circle them. Like circle them in red or highlight them in yellow. If that's what it is. And just go through that rotely. And then when you come back, you'll know what to do. But do it on this paper, right? You already have it in your reports. Do it on that sheet. And then you have one of these. And you would actually show your clients. You could say, look, you've got four risk factors for Alzheimer's. I think that the sugar and the processed food and all this, look at this. That's not, it's something you have to avoid if you want your brain back. And it gives them like, whoa, I didn't know I was that much at risk for Alzheimer's. There's stuff I can do. Great. Make sense? My son didn't want to get his tested because he said, look, I eat a plant-based diet. I don't eat any sugar. I don't eat any processed foods. I don't eat any crappy oils. I exercise. I don't want to know if I have a risk for Alzheimer's because what else could I do? I'm like, you're right. You're already doing everything that we would tell you to do. So don't get it tested if you're going to worry. I guess he has some of the, we'll talk about it a little bit, the worrier genes, right? The COM-T and MAO and the combination of those, we'll talk about that in the next section, are worrier genes. So there's a worrier gene and a warrior gene. He's got the worrier, I bet, right? I'm very clear that I can guess what people's genes are because from the knowledge I have about it, and I'll go, I bet you have, you're about, yeah, and you. So that's where you're going to get to, but just practice it. Sense? Make sense? So let's go and take a look at these charts. We're on the nutrition one, right? The actions on the nutrient ones, guess what? They're easy. I have the vitamin A SNP. I think I should be adding extra vitamin A to my diet, right? So let's go through this and look at the very top of the vitamin mineral one. And they're printed back to back. So you can always tell if it says one of two or two of two. A few of them went to three pages and we've stapled together. But for the two, you just get to flip. So I want you to guys look at your readout, whichever one you have, and look for the gene BCMO1 in your response, in your genetic test responses. Look for BCMO1, and I'd love to see how many people have it. There's three different versions of it. RSID is how it's identified in the genetics literature. And you can always look those up. You can do a Google search on an RSID. You can do a Google search on the gene variation. And then this tells you the risk allele, which is the one you don't want to have. Although there's a few circumstances where you do want to have it. Yeah. Say that. Okay, it's not in the, that's a good question. It's not in the, it would be in either the MTHFR one. It would be in the Stratagene one on the page at the end that says additional genes. I think it's at the end. Oh, so section one is the core section, bonus. It's on page four with the bonuses, very top. Oh, of the Stratagene. So of Stratagene, it's on page four at the top, okay? In MTHFR support one, it's going to be towards the back, and there's a page that says vision, and I'll tell you what page approximately that would be. BCM's 01, yep. And just pick one to be looking at now. You don't have to look at all of them right now. Just pick one, but you're going to get to see which one you like the best by. Okay. BCO1. Sometimes it says BCO1. And I think, I wish they'd have indexes in this. It's Alzheimer's, IgE, IgG. But if you have that genetics and metabolism, it's on the towards the back on the nutrient page. Can't find it. Anybody finds it, shout it out where it is in the MTHFR support. Page 33. iHealth. Yeah, it's 39 for me, but I did mine years ago. So it's the second to the end of these actual pages. So at the end you have charts. Before that, you've got the page on other immune factors, and the page before it says eye health. All right, this is mine. You can see I've got three yellows. It's related to the conversion of beta carotene to vitamin A, right? And so what it means is that if you're eating very little vegetables and nothing that has animal vitamin A, you're going to have a lot of trouble with vitamin A status. If you start to eat a lot of vegetables, you can override this easily. But what I found when I saw this, I went, oh, you know, when I first started, I changed my diet and started eating a ton of vegetables, my color changed. My hands, not just my palms, but my whole color, my whole skin color changed. Instead of being pasty white, I got this nice bronzy, yellowish, orangish tins, which beta carotene. And I thought at the time it was because I drank carrot juice, but it turns out I didn't drink carrot juice for very long, and I've had this for 30 years, 35 years. And I think it's because I don't convert as much to vitamin A. But here's my feeling, but everybody's going to be different, is that if you see someone who has this BCOMO1, and they have symptoms of vitamin A deficiency, like, you know, night difficulty seeing in the night and other things like that, you will be wanting them to either up their beta carotene or maybe even take preformed vitamin A. If they're red, you probably want them to take preformed vitamin A. And I take preformed vitamin A probably once a week. I just take a drop, two drops, whatever. I take it. It's a fat soluble, so it gets stored. So when you see somebody with this, get them to look at either way upping their beta carotene and see if that works, or if it's red for sure, get them to do vitamin A. Yeah. You know, here's how to read it when there's multiple SNPs. They all seem to have equal weight in this particular one. If you have only one yellow and the rest are green, you probably have less of a problem. I have three yellows, and somebody who has three reds is the worst. So you kind of got to gauge, and you play with the dosing on that. Okay? You don't want to do too much vitamin A, because it's fat soluble, gets stored in the liver, can be problematic. So you just have to find the Goldilocks approach, right? The right amount per person. We also have, I think I put them up on the page, but I don't know if I did yet. But we will have on the page, on the site, a checklist that you can just check off, and it says these are some of the symptoms of vitamin A deficiency. Here's symptoms of B deficiency, B1, B2, C. And that way you'll be able to use that along with this to be able to help you. Make sense? In our NEPT program, those of you who are in, you can go into whichever ones show up, you can go to that module, because we have a micronutrients module that's about 25 or 30 hours long, because it's about an hour and a half on each nutrient. And you can go in and really get the fine-tune that way. Okay? There's a questionnaire in there, right. Absolutely, absolutely. So who has a BCMO1 SNP in the room? Wow, a lot. Who has no BCMO1 SNPs? Okay. Wow. Very few, right? So it's a common SNP. You have none. Okay, yeah, can we get somebody with a mic to stand up so she can find you?
Questions. Are you supposed to just look at the homozygous, heterozygous? Are you looking for the, like?
I'm looking at any SNP. A SNP means it's not green. It's not
okay, as long
normal.
As it's yellow or red.
If it's yellow or red. But it's the degree to which, like, obviously red is homozygous. It's going to be worse of an impact on that enzyme than and if there's six, if there's three of them and you have one homozygous and the rest are normal, it's very different from three homozygous.
Okay.
Because each of these will back up. Each of these variations on the gene will back each other up.
So just ignore the green ones.
Ignore the green ones. They're good. Put them on your side. Yay.
Good problem to have.
Point for you, right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So I'm looking at it on genetic detoxification.
Yep.
And it shows that I got three reds, a green, and two yellows.
Oh, so they have more on there?
But when I look at it on the MTHFR, it's just a green and a yellow.
Well, they only did two, and these guys did four.
Okay.
So that's a good point. Okay. Some of them you might see that they did four variations, and others they did two variations.
Okay.
Right? And what you want to look at there then is this other number, this RSID. Occasionally we have found a couple of discrepancies, which I'm going to ask questions about, where one test showed it as a homozygous and the other one showed it as green. And it's an interpretation thing that we need to figure out. Yeah. But it's...
You mentioned how the hands turned orange or whatever. So at one point I was juicing a lot of carrots. And my hands were like really orange. My feet were orange, the bottom of my feet.
Yes.
So is that a bad thing?
No. It's not.
Because my acupuncturist told me, she goes, you're really orange. You need to stop taking carrot juice.
There's no downside to a lot of beta carotene. Okay, and maybe some obscure thing in some obscure person, you can never say never, but in general, no. And there's these skin kind of tests that they do to test your antioxidant status, and they're accurate because they test beta carotene, but that's all they're testing is beta carotene. And so I'd go in there and get mine done, and they're going, whoa, you're the highest we've seen in a long time. Okay, I have a very high vegetable diet. Up here? Oh, you have one back here. Let me get that there, and then she'll come back. We have a second mic runner?
The checks, do they line up with the SNP? The checks on the right in your chart, do they line up?
Yeah, they should line up with the SNP and tell you what labs might be good to do if the person, not necessarily mandatory, but what you might consider if, you know, what you're doing with them isn't working, you do them. And the same thing under the lifestyle. Some of the SNPs, it's like avoid caffeine. Others don't. Now, really predisposed to needing to avoid caffeine.
But the red ones have to do with all the SNPs. The red one, your red columns are all the SNPs. They don't line up with the SNPs.
They don't line up, well, no, the red columns are just variation, RSID, risk allele, function, and health risks. The green is then at the top, it says actions to take to protect. So you would go to the BCMO1. It says what it does, conversion of beta carotene to vitamin A. What kind of health risks would you have? Eye problems, immune issues, and acne and eczema. Okay? And then you go, well, what should I do about this? Well, vitamin A supplementation or extra vitamin A in the diet. When we put a nutrient there, we mean, you know, food concentrates, or supplementation in that order. And then you scroll along. Well, it says vitamin C, Y, vitamin C, D, and E. D has a lot to do with supporting other functions. They're like backup for those same functions. So they help in that. I'm not sure. Lynn, did you do this one? I'm not sure why a lot of these are checked on the vitamin A, like glucoraphanin and glutathione. Maybe Lynn can comment on that. Vitamin A-rich foods we have here. I'm not sure about why, but it's listed, you know, there was some research, or it was a faulty, and we'll find that out from Lynn when she takes a look at it.
If anyone's looking for the BCM01 on the Stratagene, it's actually BC01. It's missing the M.
It has the M missing. Thank you.
Okay. So
yes. And if you've got MTHFR or methylation, well, I have two of them before they changed their name. So it's metabolic research, metabolic healing, actually, nutrigenomics, and then they now call it True Report. And they have it in there as well. Who has that report? Did anybody do that one? Okay, good. And, you know, for homework and when you leave here, the goal is to just pick one person and just really go through. Spend a couple of hours just really pouring through and seeing which ones they have. You're going to go, I don't like this report. I like this one. I'm going to get this one on everybody. And if there may be some situations where you don't.
Wondering what the glucoraphanin is, because it came up a lot in the genetic detox report, like that you should supplement with it for certain ones.
Yes, it's a precursor. A precursor to sulforaphane. Yeah, and brassica vegetables is the best way to do that. And if person's not either adverse to eating them for whatever reason, maybe they have some other issues and they find that it gives them gas and bloating and they're not eating enough of those, then you can look at some of those others to do. And DIM is another one you can look at, diindolmethane.
Wait for the mic. Wait for the mic.
Mic, because they can't hear you.
Is there any correlation between somebody who's had a tonsillectomy and sulfur issues?
If you, it's not a good question for this section of the program, yeah. But I don't know off the top of my head, but we're going to talk about the sulfation pathways tomorrow and I can look into that. I don't know what the connection would be, other than not having good detox pathways and the lymph in the throat would get messed up because you're not able to detoxify and it's protecting your lungs. That's what I would think. Okay, has everybody found the BCMO1, BCO1? Everybody found them? Yeah.
Yeah, we found them. I just have a question. When we look at your nutritional chart and you have your check marks and your recommendations for, so I noticed that there's some check marks relating to the different BCMO. Is that what we're looking at? When not to do the, like,
no, okay, so this chart needs to be fixed because at the first when we were doing it, we were battling with Word. It doesn't matter where in that thing, they should all be across at the same level.
Because you got different.
It's not related to the different SNPs. It's just a formatting error.
Okay, just want to clarify.
Okay. Yeah, good question. No. They should all assume they're all in line. On all the rest of them, they are, but this was the first one we did, and I didn't get to go back and fix them after I figured out how to fix them. Okay, good. Good question, though, because you're really thinking it through, like, oh, why? Yep, it's all the same. Yeah, yeah, here.
And then, yeah, another question was with your chart here. So you have three categories under the BCMO1.
Yeah.
Like three whatever numbers, right?
Okay, so one is the variation. So there's three genes that code for the same. There's three gene BCMO1s that are slightly different. One is the R2675. Who knows why they named them this? They couldn't call them rats and dogs and cats, right? It's just a name that was made up for these. And then the RSID is an identifier in a lot of the PubMed and other kinds of databases.
So as long as you have one of those, you have to take action, right?
I would say if you have only one and it's yellow, I would just focus on eating more beta-carotene-rich foods.
Okay.
Right? And if you might already be doing it, right? You may already, if you don't have symptoms, so I would say evaluate for symptoms of a vitamin A deficiency. So this is as a practitioner, or if you're practitioning on yourself, you want to look at all those pieces. Okay, so let's look at the vitamin A food intake, and let's look at the symptoms. And if you have no symptoms of vitamin A deficiency, even though you have this, just keep up eating a lot of beta-carotene rich foods. Doesn't mean that you actually have to do something different than you're already doing. If you're not manifesting it, it might not even be turned on. You know what I mean? Right? So, but we're going to be working with people who are coming to us with issues. Fatigue, brain fog, extra weight gain, rashes, stomach, all sorts of stuff. So we want to be looking at them at the complete picture of that. And, you know, I could spend 2 weeks talking about all the ways to evaluate, and that's, like, we don't have 2 weeks. So we're going to focus on the genes. Yeah.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yes.
Hey, I'm over here. In looking at this beautiful chart that you made, the BCMO1 has three different genes underneath it, right?
Right.
And then looking at the strata gene report, I think I'm looking at, I found BCO1.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Right. But there's other ones here that aren't on your chart. If they're red, do we follow the same? Are they all kind of?
Yeah,
the same?
I mean, we're in general, right? These are the most common ones that are reported, but I would say if you're looking at the multiple charts, this is a good time to just lay it out on your dining room table, pick one case to work on, and just really get it and go, well, maybe they do have a problem. These are the ones, you know, stratagene is also what's supposed to be clinically relevant. So that's why I had you make multiple ones so you can get a sense of where the person really is. Make sense?
Because I'm looking at this one and it says, I'm looking at the report, the stratagene report, and there's several different BCO1s.
Yes. Let me open mine.
This is yours, I think, or the one that you...
Yeah, okay, so I have listed five BCMO1s, same thing.
So the first three are good, and those are the ones that are on your chart, but then the fourth one is red, and that's not on your chart here.
And I'm red, too, on that one, too.
Well, I think I'm looking at yours.
Oh, you're looking
at
mine.
I'm looking at the sample.
Okay, yeah, so that's it. For me, I just, as a precaution, because I see that, I'm like, I probably eat plenty of beta-carotene rich foods to overcome this conversion issue if I just was yellow. But, I have one red, so I'll take vitamin A supplement every couple of weeks or every week or whatever. So, yeah,
but
you can
follow
take
the
them
same
all.
Thing that's on here, even though it's a different gene.
Yeah, and eventually maybe we'll build this out, but we were under a time crunch and we used one report to source it from.
Just trying to understand.
But
thank
you. Absolutely. So maybe version 2 will have all the ones consolidated from all the different reports, but they'll be longer. And we didn't want to print 14 pages of these. So, well, we did print 14 pages, but we didn't want to print 14 pages of each category. I want to make it simple for you, right? That's, what's that? The book, yeah? Oh my God, the book is really useful. I highly recommend you get it. This book, because especially if you do that genetic detoxification report, it tells you right to go to the page. And I think Karen did that when she was looking at hers. I said, did you look at the, oh yeah, I got the book. And she looked at the page and she found descriptions of the ones that were problematic. You don't have to sit down and read the whole book, because if you do, you're going to forget it in an hour because there's too much in here. It's called Genetic Testing, Defining Your Path to a Personalized Health Plan. And if you want to, while you're here, if you have access to Kindle, like an iPhone or a iPad where you can look at a Kindle thing, download it. It's like $14. Oh, it's $10. On Kindle Edition's $10. This was $35 to have it shipped to me. $10. And that's how because I gave this to Lynn and she was doing some and I was doing others. And that's how I looked at mine. It was on my Kindle on my iPad. Download it while you're here. And that way you can, as homework, go back and say, okay, what are my SNPs in these areas? Mark it up. And, or just make a list, whatever you want to do. Make sense? What's that? It's called Genetic Testing. Christy Sutton is the author. Dr. Christy Sutton, and it's Genetic Testing, Defining Your Path to a Personalized Health Plan. And we'll have that link on the page. I don't know if I put it up there, but Jessica, if you could make a note to have Francis put the link to that book on there, and you could grab the book at a break and get the exact name, and she can just put the link to it on Amazon. Okay? Thank you.
Dr. Rita Marie? I have a question about the three, I guess there are three different genes under the BCM01. There are three different.
Yep.
They're more than that, actually.
And there's five on strategy.
There's
three
five.
Here, yeah.
And so my understanding is they're not all equally good or bad. There are differences. There are differences.
Right? And so the top three are the ones that are reported mostly on most reports. Ben Lynch's report, the strategy added a few more. It gets a little confusing when they report so many, like this MTHFR report. It'll pick one gene, and maybe most places report three of them that are clinically relevant. They report 17, and you freak out. So, yeah, I think you would give higher weight to the ones that are the more common ones. So in answer to Angela's question, she's looking at mine and going red.
So would that be, if I was wanting to know more, would that be how or when I would do further research with the RSID?
Yep, you can put the RSID. You can go to several sites, and at the end of this one of the presentations, you'll have it on the site. I have a list of all the resources of different places you can look. Snippedia, gene cards. You know, none of them is great, right? It's really, this is why putting this together and coming to this conference was a great idea, because I get to do the work and you don't have to, right? Because it's a lot of work to research these. One night I wanted to find out, why do I have such problems with my blood sugar? Why do I have to be so careful? And I started researching all the genes related to it, and I had to go through all kinds of rabbit holes and, you know, make notes, and you'll see those slides tomorrow with them. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten one of these. I may have it in PDF if I can get it done tonight, but I doubt it. But we have other charts in there, and we'll eventually do one on the blood sugar. So we won't have it to hand out to you. But it took me hours, I mean literally 4 or 5 hours, to come up with these different genes. And then to go back to my own stuff, and some of them I actually had to go into the 23andMe data and look them up. And then it was like, I'm a CC. What's that? Is it good or is it bad? Then I had to go out and find all the different research out there to say, oh, wait, CC is normal, good. It's like take an hour on each one. So there's a lot of research that goes into this. Yeah. Yep.
How do you test your vitamin A? Do you use just a regular serum?
Oh, in vitamin A, you can do a serum. Yeah, what's the name of the lab? Quest Labs or LabCorp will test it for you. The other way to do it would be SpectraCell. That's a pricier test because it tests all the nutrients, and it's about $600, right? So the vitamin A at Quest might be $49. Yeah, so it's.
And what is your preformed vitamin A?
Preformed vitamin A means. Which form do I prefer?
No, what brand?
Oh, what brand? I've been using Seeking Health. Now, Craig will disagree with me. I don't know if he's in the room right now or at his booth, but Craig, because he thinks it's because it's a synthetic vitamin A, that it's not as good. And I trust Seeking Health's sort because they're really careful about it. Other companies I may not trust, like CVS brand. Is it charcoal derivative? Or like Ben Lynch is Seeking Health's director, and he is careful. I mean, he has these problems himself, and he wants to provide the best supplements available. So is it perfect? Probably not. Is it decent insurance policy? Yes. And you can also get it in like organ meats, like liver, if you wanted to do that. But then you get A and D and other stuff that's in the liver, plus the toxic waste products that animals try to get rid of. So there's pluses, there's minuses to everything.
I have a question.
Hang.
There is a supplement out there for beef liver that is in supplement form if you can't stand the liver. So it is on Amazon. I've looked into it, but it at least will give you some.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of liver supplementation just because, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the sewage dump in the body and how much of that is really still in the liver when the animal is slaughtered, and I'm not into slaughtering animals. So anyway, but beyond my love of animals, I just don't think liver is a good food. Some people will disagree with me, but that's okay. That's for my purposes. Back here?
Yeah, I have a question about, so for some of the health risks, I'm I guess for one of these gene variations, but I don't have any of the health risks. Like I have high testosterone and...
Which one are you on?
I'm on SLC3088, the zinc one.
Okay.
And we know I'm low on zinc, but the health risks for me are...
But I don't know you're low on zinc, because remember I said I think you're low on zinc based on low stomach acid, based on some other things. But then when we looked at your NutriVal, your zinc was okay.
But I'm homozygous. I mean, yeah, I'm homozygous.
That's okay. You're getting enough from food, and you're maybe it's not turned on.
So something I just wanted to say, when we had that weekend thing for the genes, or maybe it was the night thing, you said that just because we're homozygous, it doesn't mean that we're expressing, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So if you go through this and you go, okay, does this person show signs of zinc deficiency? Does this person show signs of magnesium deficiency? Will someone please look up on, whoever has Angela, look it up on mine, the magnesium ones. Which one was that? There was TRPM7. I'm just going to use this as an example. I have a reason for doing this. TRPM7. Look up TRPM7 on mine, whoever is looking at the samples from the site. TRPM7, it's in the nutrient one. Anybody see it? If you did the genetic detoxification one, it should be towards the back, same place as BCMO1. I'll look it up, too. Okay, I have it right. Well, I've got so many of these open now. Sabonis snips. And I love the Strategene because it gives you a lot of functional stuff, but it's very incomplete when it comes to some of the non-methylation genes. It just has a few what they call bonus snips. But, okay, so my TC... Oh, Lynn, wasn't that one that went someplace? It said to find it under. Lynn, are you there? Okay, so when you were doing the nutrient one and you asked me about the magnesium one was listed at the bottom, what section was that in? You remember? It may not be in that nutrient section. TRP, was it in the cancer section? No, it couldn't have been there. Maybe the brain, maybe the Alzheimer's. All right, I'm not sure where that one came from, so Lynn will get back to us. DNA. What? DNA damaging cancer. Okay, good. On genetic detoxification, page 7, TRPM7. I'm green. I was asking that because if I don't take magnesium, I get cramps in my calves. And if I forget to, I don't like taking supplements, so I don't take it for a while. And I go, well, I eat so much magnesium-rich food. Why do I get that? And I was thinking I might have had a snip there, but I don't. So. It's on page 7 for me. Of the genetic detoxification. What? Oh, it says not. Okay, I had my 23andMe done years ago, like 5 years ago, and they recently changed their thing. When Donna talks, she might be talking about some other places that run this, and I know there's at least two other companies that are looking at running more of the genes. Yeah, I don't know why, because they're looking at ancestral, like that's like... what everybody cares to know, that they're 27, whatever you are, right?
So can you, what do you make of the fact that you're green, but if you don't take magnesium, you don't feel good?
If I don't take magnesium, I get leg cramps when I don't take magnesium for a few weeks.
Green.
So maybe I'm not absorbing it from my food,
but
right?
Even though
maybe I don't have enough stomach acid.
Even though you don't.
Right. Here's the thing. You can be green but still have a problem based on the lifestyle. Yes, absolutely. So if you have a SNP, it doesn't mean that if you don't, it doesn't mean you're never going to get cancer because you're all green here. You know, if we stick you in Agent Orange country and expose you to, you know, no matter how good your detox pathways are, you can exceed them. So it's always about exceeding your body's ability. This is great questions. It's always about exceeding your body's ability to detox. And that decreased ability to detox can come from either too much exposure, like overstressing it. It could come from interfering factors, and it can come from malabsorption, perhaps. It could come from SNPs or a combination. So when I look at it, I look at, so if somebody does, say, a SpectraCell test or a NutriEval test, and it comes up with five nutrients that you are testing to be low for, is the answer to supplement? Is the root cause analysis answer to supplement?
No.
No. The Band-Aid, like Dr. Tom talked about, the life preserver is to supplement by all means right now while you're trying to figure it out. But then let's figure out why. Is there something you're exposed to? Is there mold in your environment? Do you have a leaky gut, which is damaging the ability of your body to handle it? Do you have, like if it's a fat soluble, do you have some fat processing problems where you're not producing enough bile? Or maybe you're not taking the vitamin A-rich foods with, you know, some extra fat to stimulate the bile, right? So as practitioners, I think we have to be health detectives. We have to not stop at the this for that approach. We want to get away from the this for that approach. Medicine, right? Boom, put people in a box. This is the diagnosis, and these are the potential treatments. This for that. We don't care why. You heard that story, that horrific story about that 14-year-old that Dr. Tom told, and she just kept getting more and more stuff, and it was about, what was her root cause? Gluten sensitivity, right? So that's where we want to shine as to, you got a vitamin A deficiency, I want to understand why. Yes, I'm going to suggest that you take vitamin A, right? Then I'm going to look at, oh, you got all these SNPs, that's probably why something turned those off. You're going to keep taking that vitamin A. Or, oh, you're exposed to something that damages your gut lining, right? You're drinking coffee all day long. Coffee can damage and thin your gut lining and that mucosa. You're under stress, which is depleting your stores. So this is like an additional tool that you can use to explain these things, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. And that, I wish there was like this simple method that we could just figure out, but it's not. It's a complicated process that we need to go through, right? But this helps clarify it, and it gives you places to know where to throw the life preserver out to. Make sense? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
I just have a question. I'm new on this in this area, but my sense is that there is a lot that you have to control. I mean, there is a lot out there that I mean, aside from looking at your genetics and all of that, I mean, you have to be aware if you're exposed to, you know, benzene or if you're exposed to heavy metals. I mean, it's like, it's really stressful, I think. I mean, not stressful, but there is so much to control, and you can't quite control everything,
right? You can't control everything, right? It's like the serenity prayer, right? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? If you are living in a place that is got something in the air, you can't get away from it, right? You can do the best you can. You can get the air filters at home. You can, you know, protect yourself when you go out. You can have good antioxidant status, but you can't necessarily control everything. But we want to help people control what they can. And what they can control is what they put in their mouth, how they breathe, how they think, what their environment is like. Are they using Glade and those little whatever things in every room, the air freshener things? Those are toxic to the body. So the rule for helping someone get well is to reduce the toxic load first and foremost. But there are, like you said, some toxic loads we can't. Who lives in a house that has one of those smart meters? Like, you know, there's a lot here, right, that we can't control. We can avoid, we can mitigate the damage to the body by supporting, right? Proper sweating, getting in the sauna, you know? That sort of stuff to sweat away some of those toxins. Support the liver with some good liver-supporting foods, right? Milk thistle seeds and dandelion and burdock root and other cruciferous vegetables and things like that. And so when we did these charts, we put a lot of those lifestyle things across the top. Are these charts the be-all and the end-all and the most complete? No. This is version one. You're getting version one. You will see version two and three, and in a couple of years, you'll probably see us selling this whole program of, you know, here's this amazing set of charts. I'm trying to make it simple, because if you look at these things and you don't know what you're doing, what does this mean? It's just a bunch of colors on a page. Right? And it could take you, hours and hours to research every single one of these. Try and make it simple. Does that help? These are great questions, by the way. Yeah.
Hey, hi. So the TRPM7, I guess that's yours.
Yes.
Yours is green.
It's green.
Not genotyped.
So I don't have a genetic SNP that causes me to be magnesium.
Sorry, yours is green and mine's not genotyped. I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, okay, so not genotyped. 23andMe, a few years back, they got raided by the FDA and told they couldn't put out their reports, their health reports anymore until they made some changes, and it was like a six-month thing. You could still get the raw data, but they didn't have their health data. And for some reason, I don't know the real details behind the scenes, they stopped doing certain genes.
So yours is the older one.
I did mine.
Yes.
And this is okay. I mean, in order for me to know what's there and was there and wasn't, I'd have to do another 23andMe test on myself and run the reports again to see what it's like. And I probably will do that someday. I mean, $200 to research, it's worth it, right? It's not like it's a $2,000 test. So I will probably do that just to see, and I'll be able to mark off like, oh, look at all these. And then I will be able to update the charts to say that it's not available anymore or take them off or whatever. But there are other companies coming up because of that. Ben Lynch is actually coming up with one. I think it's supposed to be released next year where they'll actually be testing the genes and running the reports as well. And I think Donna may have some information about some companies that she uses that maybe do a wider variety. When I first started doing this, probably 10 or 12 years ago, the only report that I knew of to run was either Genova Diagnostics, which had separate tests for each of the areas, and they were like $300 each. So if you were to do the whole thing, it would be like a $3,000 investment. Not something the average person's going to do, right? They're not going to advertise that on CNN and the sports broadcast, because who's going to buy it? And then Amy Yasko, who works a lot with autistic kids, so she's biased towards that population of kids, but she wanted to know why were some of these kids autistic with the same vaccinations, the same crap food and all this, why were they autistic and their siblings weren't, right? Was there something in it? And she found some major problems with the methylation and detox SNPs. But her report was like $500 and she did 36 SNPs. It was a two-page report, right? It's not very much. But it was focused just on the methylation ones, right? The ones that she felt like were important for her autistic kids to help them get better. Now, I love her dedication. I love what she does. And she does a free report. But it gives you nice explanation. So I'd recommend that you get it done. Neurologic Research Institute. There's a link to it in your slides. You'll get that when you get the slides. But here's the problem with the report. I like all the information she gives in the background, and then it tells me, based on my SNPs, and she only ran 30 of them. Okay. Not even 30. This is the SNP report that she ran my report off of, and it's followed by page after page after page after page of all the supplements I should be taking. 17 pages of supplements, which, by the way, she sells. But it's crazy. It goes back to this for that. Like, this, you can't just do that without knowledge of the person, right? Yeah, I have all these SNPs. You guys see them. I don't have good genes, but I've shifted my lifestyle, my attitude, my everything. Am I perfect? No. Am I exposed to stuff? Like Marsha asked me the other day, well, what do you do if you go in a swimming pool with chlorine in it? I said, enjoy myself. Like if I worry about it, I'll hurt myself more. And if I want to take extra vitamin C or maybe eat some kelp for iodine to help dissipate some of that issue, I can do that, right? But you can't protect yourself from everything, and I'm not going to stop swimming, right? And so I do the best at home. We use very low chlorine. We're looking at shifting out our old chlorine system with one that does salt water. I love to swim in the ocean. So if I'm on vacation and there's an ocean there, I'll swim there rather than in the pool. Wash yourself off when you get out. I mean, you take precautions, but you don't want to stop living your life. You don't want to be like the boy in the bubble. Then you don't have any fun in life. And guess what my top pillar is? You guys in my programs know. Fun. Number one pillar for fun. It's called the Body Freedom Foundations. We'll talk about it on Sunday, how you can put these things in it. If you're not having fun and you're stressing about this and you're eating a pristine diet and you're meditating and you're exercising, but the rest of the time when you're awake, you're like worried about the benzene here and the chlorine there and the everything, you're not going to be healthy. Right? So we have to have fun. We have to have joy. We have to approach everything with that attitude that I trust this body. Whatever your religious come, I don't talk religion like Dr. Tom doesn't talk politics, but but whatever your religious affiliation is, right? Whether it's, you know, the God energy in you, whether it's the Allah energy in you, whether it's the Buddha energy in you, whether it's just source energy, Mother Nature energy, whatever that is, we were born with this amazing ability to heal, right? You cut your arm open and you don't know how to tell your body to do that. If we had to rely on our conscious brain to heal our broken bones and to heal our skin, we'd all be dead by now, right? But our inner wisdom knows how to do that, the inner wisdom. And so we want to get out of its way as best we can. And most of us are thwarting it. And then all your clients, they're thwarting their inner wisdom. And your job is to find out what those obstacles are day by day basis. And then help them to make changes. And like Dr. Tom said, if it's 1 hour a week that they devote to making some changes, if they do one change a week, you as a health coach want to identify what's the heavy hitter for that person. And I had a call with Marcia a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, let's not look at your labs because I think there's something else that we need to look at. And she was like, game for it. You know, and I've done that with other people. Like, I'm not ready to tell you to do this or that because you may not even do it if I tell you. I think there's something else that's blocking you, and let's look at that. So we really have to be open, and that's why I want to expose you to all these ways of analyzing and all these ways of looking at it. Does that make sense? Yes? So the rest of the nutrient chart, and I'm going to put up a couple of slides because I have a description, then I want to move on to the brain so we don't run out of time for this section. So the rest of the nutrient charts, just go through. So homework tonight, all right? Now I'm going to ask in the morning, who has some folate receptor problems and who has some magnesium uptake problems, right? Or potential risks. I'm going to stop using the word problem and use the word risk because it's just risk, okay? And so go through these the same way we just did with the BCM01. You get it that there might be some that are, you know, not quite as easy to find, that maybe one report has more than another, and that's fine, you get it. Just really focus on the specific gene. And if you have any problem in any of those things, assume that there's a little bit higher risk, and you're gonna mitigate that risk the best you can with food, with attitude, with clean air, with sweating in the sauna, with whatever else you need, homeopathic remedies to pull out toxins, whatever it is, and whatever that person's open to. Got it? The risk allele. So remember we talked this morning, like what a SNP is a single nucleotide polymorphism, meaning that when we hear those double, the stranded helixes, let me see if I can't find my clicker. Somebody help. It's buried. Ah, here it is. Okay, so I'm going to go backwards a few slides to answer that question. Almost there. No. What do you think of these pictures? Are they fun? Okay, almost there. Okay, so we looked at that's the heel, the strand, right? And the C matches up with the T. No, the A with the T and the C with the G, right? And if there's a shift, when they measure what's at that particular point of focus on that gene, if you have a C where it should be a T, that's what that risk allele is. So if it should be an AT and you have a C there, C is the risk allele. Make sense? Yeah, look at the top where it says CG, right? That's what's supposed to be there. What does it say at the bottom? Okay. That doesn't jive. TA. Yeah, it's just replacing one. Yeah. It is replacing. And you know what? This is just the first time I'm noticing that. Let me go to the next one. It's a double nucleotide. No. Okay, so this is what version one is. So say version one is the normal. But you've got a C, you've got a, instead of an A there, you have a C. C is the risk allele. If instead of the A, you have a G, G is the risk allele. If instead of the A, you have a T, the T is the risk allele. So the risk allele is the one that's not the way it's supposed to be. You should be having an AA at this particular place on your gene. But instead, you have an AT. T is the risk allele. Does that make sense? Right? It's what's the substitution? Good question, because I want to make sure if you had that question, others might have too. Yeah.
Is it? Thank you. Is it possible to have both of them off, like that slide said?
Like that. I don't know. I'll have to look back at that slide. Right. That was on deposit photos, and well, I don't know if it's accurate. Okay.
But it, is it? Okay.
Usually, there's the pairings, right? A T C G. And I think that that. I think it was circled. I'll look at it and see. I don't want to tell you. Okay. Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I was wondering, you know, this is all very new to me, looking at all these genes and that. And I was thinking it's kind of, it feels to me a bit naive to think that it seems like we're ascribing causality. And I'm wondering if this is really correlational. And it seems to me that all these genes would be working in concert. It's not just
yes.
one of our genes are on. So
yes.
I would wonder if, for example, looking at APOE4, as Dr. Tom was saying, there's that 80-20 split. You know, if, like, what accounts for the 20%? I mean, it may be that a person has APOE4, but then they've got a gazillion greens, you know, that are, you know what I mean? It's
yeah, there's other things that protect against, so say APOE4 will predispose to Alzheimer's. And say that person, that's the only Alzheimer's predisposition gene they have, everything else is green, they're less likely to have a problem with it than a person that has a whole bunch there.
But maybe not just the APOE per se, but all of the gazillion genes.
But
that we
other,
have.
You're totally
it's like
right.
It's a symphony, really. It's
it
really
is
like
a symphony.
Symphony.
It totally is.
And it seems like we're kind of like playing a Hannon or something. You know,
no, we're not trying to do it this for that. And with the nutrients, it's a little different because it's a nutrient. It's like what nutrient is coded for this. But when we get into methylation and we get into some of the brain function, you're going to see that they do work in concert, and we have to look at it. So, for example, MTHFR, the most popular one that people go, you have an MTHFR. You need to take 15 milligrams of folate, methylated folate every day. But they don't look at everything else. They don't look to see, but you also have a COMT. And when you have a COMT, you are slowing down on your use of that methylated folate, and you're going to become anxious because you're going to get a buildup of you know, dopamine or something in your body.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
See, so yeah, there are interactions. I started with this deliberately because it's the simple one.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's totally, we have to look at it in concert. And it's really how we're going to use this is not to scare people, but to explain to people that they need perhaps more vitamin A than the average. Like the RDA, for example, right? Is the RDA accurate? Right? Like, who is the RDA for? Some average person. Who do you know that's the average person? Right? So we need to be looking at that in relationship to the person. And so we can determine that this person might need more vitamin A or C or E or whatever than the average person. Right? And it's definitely that way. So if we don't have any more questions, I don't want to leave this if you don't have time, and we'll figure out how to get it all, you know, covered. But this is critical that you understand this, because these will give you a guideline to help you in planning your own and your client's next steps. Are they, we're going to look next at the, in this section, I'm going to look at some of the, like the lectin diet and the other kinds of diets that we have out there. Does this person have a gene that might predispose them to not work well with lectins? It doesn't mean if they have it that they have to be on a low lectin diet, but it's a good way to approach it. Does that make sense? Okay. So can we hold questions to the end of this? So I want to make it through the nutrients. We were going to do nutrients and brain, but that was overly ambitious. That's me and my GAD SNPs. Okay. So nutrient-related genes, we just went through these. This is just a summary page that you have them. It has some of the, it doesn't really have much of the, it doesn't really have any of the variations. It's just giving you the names of them. Vitamin D-related genes, again, this is a summary that I had that you have in the chart in a different way that you can just go through. I want to look at food-related SNPs, because a lot of times when you're working with somebody, you can't get them to eat greens because they go, it's too bitter. It's too bitter. And you're drinking it going, well, this tastes pretty good to me, right? It's a gene. There's a bitter taster gene. There's a sweet taster gene. And if you have somebody that has both of those, then you better be putting lots of stevia or lohan or non-glycemic sweetener in there to make that palatable, especially if they need to be on a lower glycemic diet because of their diet, their blood sugar SNPs. Salt sensitive, and salt sensitive meaning that they the taste buds, but also salt sensitive in that excess salt might raise their blood pressure, right? So looking at that, if you have a problem with blood pressure, then you might have to be able to restrict your intake based on this gene. Alcohol intolerance, right? ALDH2, that could be that you're not breaking down the alcohol. It could lead predisposed to alcohol addiction. It could predispose to alcoholism, but also to those people who just like get so giddy, like on two sips of wine, they're not metabolizing it fast enough. It's not getting out. And they're like two sips of wine and I feel like a, you know, tipsy sailor. Right? And then there's two of the alcohol metabolisms. And there's a whole section in the book and in this report that's alcohol metabolism, which is why I like this, because it makes it easy for even the average person to go, even looking at this, right? You give this to a, you get this report done, they look at it and they go, wow, maybe I shouldn't be drinking my two beers a day. Maybe I should cut down. I don't metabolize it. Oh, pesticides and herbicides. Maybe I should look at organic gardening. I've been spraying this Roundup and garbage on my grass, and I don't think I'm going to handle it real well. I need to look at it. So even just looking at it gives people an insight, right, without even the interpretation. And then, again, with the food religion thing, so gluten-free, there's a bunch of them, and we have a whole celiac page that we're going to give you tomorrow. Dairy-free, here's some of the other SNPs that relate to that. These may or may not be in a specific report. You know, you may have to go into the raw data to get them, but I just put them up there. Oops. This is a very sensitive clicker. So what do you do, right? If you look at the thing and you see this particular client or patient has X number of nutrient-related SNPs. Well, you want to evaluate for the symptoms of the nutrient deficiency, which is what I said earlier. You want to perform any lab tests if you think they're needed. For the nutrient deficiencies, vitamin D is a very important one. It's so variable how people respond to vitamin D. Has anybody found that in your practice? That some people, you give 5 milligrams of vitamin D and they get their levels right up, and others you give 20 and it takes them 6 months to get their levels up. Has to do with the vitamin D-related genes. So it's a good thing to look at the people who are having trouble with that and go, oh, it's because of their genes. Let's, you know, give them a little more, get them up to where they need to be. You want to provide education related to the food sources, right? Not just say, oh, yeah, go take a supplement of this, right? Vitamin D is a little different because it's sunshine related and depending on where you live and depending on the color of your skin, and there's so many factors in the pollution in the air. And then supplement if needed, right? In some cases, if someone's showing some severe nutrient deficiencies, you're going to supplement from the start, but you're going to continue to dig deep and teach them how to do it. You want to get people results quickly. You don't say, well, in 2 years, if you keep eating this particular food that's rich in this, you're going to feel better. Like, they're off, right? You've lost them. Make sense? Yes? So that's it for the nutrient section. We're going to go on to the brain section after Donna talks. And when I talked to Donna earlier, she said she was going to go over some of the same ones as I did, like a sleep one and a couple of others. So we're going to make sure that she covers the base. I'm going to move on to move into some other stuff. Okay? Everybody good? Was this was really tough. Was this tough? No? Is good? You feel a little bit like more clear on what these bloody reports mean? Right? And then do your homework, because, you know, I'm going to teach you this. You can look at one or two of these, but you want to do your homework and just go through them, and because it's going to give you so much stuff, and then bring your questions tomorrow. And thank you for asking all the great questions. Because, all right, so we're going to break. Are we at break time? I don't see my time. What happened to these things with the timers? Where are we at with time? I have no idea because the timer's gone. 6 minutes. Oh, we have 6 minutes before break? Four? This is off. So we have 4 minutes before break. So I can answer a couple more questions. Then we're going to go to break. And what time do we come back from break? We have 30 minutes break, but 25 if you want to be in the seat for the raffle. 15? We're coming back at 3:45? Okay, then we can break now, so we could give you a longer break. If you did accidentally take something off one of these tables for the test, please put it back, because you're not going to be able to run the test anyway, because they're going to be given the names of the people who win them. So we'd appreciate it if you get it back. I know somebody might have accidentally knocked it over, or it might have fallen up behind the table, but we want to get those back. So
we did get one back. We do have an amnesty program. come see me in the booth in the back, in the corner in the dark, and I won't tell anybody,
put
okay?
Put it in a brown paper bag and slip it over. No. It happens. There wasn't a sign. So anything on those two tables is for the raffles, and, you know, they're just for you to see. And see, Tony, tell them your technique for winning the prizes that you want. Because you were here like 3 years ago and you won everything.
If you guys don't remember, a couple, 3-4 years ago, I won like 4 prizes in a row. I'm a big mindset person, so I set a strong intention because there were a couple things I actually needed and wanted. But here's the trick. You got to believe you're worthy of it. Got to believe it. And then universe will take care of the rest. So I want to see some strong manifesting out there. Look on this table. See what you want. Come see me. I'll rub on your head, your shoulders, whatever, give you a little luck. That's one of the surprises. You just have to split it with me, okay? Fair.
All right. Anything else that you need to say? No, we're done?
Don't forget to go visit our sponsors.
So we're telling them to come back at 3:40.
Yeah, for the raffle.
3:40 for the raffle.
Yes.
Come in a little before that to dance with Michelle. How's Michelle with moving your body?
Oh, it's been
fun. Is that good?
Yeah.
And the affirmations, because it's mind and body. Mind and body. Have fun. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for
and
coming
come back
on
time. We're going to be Donna Gates.